No, thanks. Good evening. Nice to sit with you tonight. Thank you. I'm going to start tonight with a quote from the Buddha. He says, "I teach one thing and one thing only. That is suffering and the end of suffering." Suffering, suffering, suffering. So, what about that? We're going to talk about compassion. It's the second of the four Brahma Viharas that we've been studying. The Pali word is karuna, and the near enemies are pity, guilt, fear, cruelty. But when it's translated literally from the Pali and Sanskrit word, karuna means experiencing a trembling or quivering of the heart in response to a being's pain. It takes us to our heart. But this is important. Compassion is not debilitating. It doesn't mean to take the pain to our own body and suffer as much as possible with the others. Now that's a shift for some of us. That's okay. We're just opening to possibilities. But it doesn't mean to take the pain to our own body and suffer as much as possible with the others. To be overwhelmed by pain can lead to despair. We know that. Grief, aimlessness, even anger. When my heart opens to the Ukrainian people for what they're going through, it's completely different than when I take it through the mind. Why? Well, the mind, because the mind's not wise, and it gets angry, it gets frustrated, it gets overwhelmed. So this is not compassion when we're overwhelmed by other people's pain. That's not compassion. Ram Dass says in his book, How Can I Help? It's one thing to have one's heart engaged and another to have it overwhelmed or broken. Here lies our aversion to suffering. Why? Because we don't talk about suffering. I had a teacher, I've told you before, that when he heard that life is full of suffering, he cried. Why? Because he was like the rest of us. He thinks something's wrong with the suffering. Or something's wrong with us. Now, it's not delightful, I can say that. But it is here. It is here. And as the poet says, anything can happen. Anything can happen. So if we're overwhelmed, then we cannot bear what's going on. We find it difficult to open to the truth of pain. Yet that is the basis of compassion. the first step in developing true compassion, of course, we can use our acronym. We can recognize it. We can allow it. And then again, when we hear teacher teachings we don't quite understand, or it hasn't come to us through our hearts, then we investigate. Is this true? It doesn't sound right. Is this true? That's where really I learned to be such a faith person on this. Faith, not blind faith, but faith about the practice, because I've looked enough, I've heard enough, not enough, but I've heard enough to know that what the Buddha says is true. So my I don't have the doubting mind with the teachings. Nothing's wrong with the doubting mind. That can be useful. But I've had enough experiences that it's easier to hear what the Buddha has to say. Because remember, it's the truth. And what's the truth? Well, it's just the laws of nature. The subtle ones, there are so many subtle ones, along with all the others. Laws of nature, truth, not what comes from the rational mind or has been set up by the rational mind. So everywhere, absolutely everywhere, in one way or another, beings are suffering. And some suffering is intense and terrible, like we see in Ukraine, up close with the information age. And some is quiet and small, some of the ones we experience within us when we don't get our way or we make a mistake. We suffer all day long. And an opportunity to open to the suffering, the big ones and the little ones. And while suffering is not all there is in life, it is a thread that needs to be recognized clearly. If we want to develop true compassion, so we look at our own experience, and it comes as no big surprise that suffering exists. We could list them personally, each one of us. And we have our ups and downs, we have our pain, loss, sorrow, times when we do not get what we want. Sometimes we get what we want and we find out we don't want it. So we all experience this pattern. It's part of being a human being. So the wisdom sets us free. Yet we're brought up with the feeling that suffering is somehow wrong or to be avoided. It makes us uncomfortable. And that's okay. We get the idea that suffering is unbearable and should not ever be faced. And that's where we get the second arrow. We continue suffering. Because when the suffering comes up, it is how we relate to it that enables more suffering and more suffering. Why? Well, because we have not taken the time and the effort to dive deeply into what the Buddha was talking about suffering. So we create this society that accommodates our need to just deny it. We know that. We use material consumption. I should say I do. I'm a shopaholic. Painkillers. We take people who are different, that don't look like us, who are in trouble, who are old, who are dying, and we put them out of sight in institutions. We are not, as a society, open to suffering. And as a result, we cause more suffering. And these forms of suffering we all share, but there is so much humiliation and bitterness about getting sick or growing old. Or dying, that we feel we have to hide our pain. Let's don't go there. Let's don't talk about that. Oh, she just talks about death all the time. Pain. Who wants to talk about that? Who wants to look at that deeply and within? Where all wisdom is found. So moving away from something real to something fabricated. And that's what the teachings teach us along the way in all aspects of our lives. What are we fabricating? Well, we begin to see the human being as a whole system of phenomena that arises and falls away. We see that very quickly. And so nothing is stable. There is no sure thing. So what we're all looking for is the sure thing. And the sure thing can only be found within. So to live by this web of legend about suffering and pain will always harm us. The truth may be difficult to open to, but the truth will never hurt us, never ever hurt us. And what a tremendous relief to have the actual truth openly spoken. Aha, there is suffering in this world. How do I relate to the big ones, the middle ones, the small ones? And so Buddha puts everything on the table. Everything's up front. We can't escape all the things that we've been conditioned to escape. So more difficult than acknowledging our pain in others, however, is opening to it. Opening to it, well, we're beginning to know how to open our hearts, which is wisdom we can depend upon. And we're beginning to see the difference. Open heart, rational mind. Open heart, rational mind. Any time we're in the mind, we're not in the present moment. And even though the mind's not our enemy, it must be known, otherwise it will be our teacher. So opening to the pain, oh. And as you well know, this is the second step in developing compassion. Opening or allowing pain and establishing an appropriate relation to it. Truth. Compassion. And so, really, to open to pain, we may have to do so a little bit at a time. Maybe too much at one time. I've noticed that Jack and Tara are just, I mean, they're just, I keep seeing all the things that they are trying to do to put out this message right now, because there's so much suffering, so much pain that we're not used to. And so we don't know what to do with it. So if our opening is forced or contrived, our sense of purpose may shatter. Sometimes when we begin to open to suffering, we displace it. So that even though we see it, we also have the sense of being able to control it. We think we're the big controller. As if we can turn it off and on. As if we can figure out what's going on. As if we can figure out what all the suffering is about. And yet, we begin to see the limitations of being a human being. We are privy to some things. We are in the dark about other things. As the poet says, anything can happen. So this tendency to displace may be why people like to look at violence, read about violence, because we can control it. We can turn it off. We can turn the channel. When we don't feel in control, very often we feel righteous. Anger, fear, or grief. Or we put it on other people, oh, you're not doing enough about suffering. Well, so what are you doing about the suffering? What does it take? So in Buddhist psychology, these are known as compassion's near enemies, because they disguise themselves as compassion, pity, guilt. Look at me. I'm sitting right here safe and sound, and the Ukrainian people are being slaughtered right at this moment. And I have felt righteous anger, fear, and pity. But I have also felt compassion. Why? Because the Buddha taught me. So, and it can be harder to distinguish when we're lost in aversion. If we're feeling angry at injustice or outraged to see or hear a misuse of power, whether it's in families or communities or in Ukraine, we may become afraid ourselves when we witness the fears of others. So we're facing it. We may feel sorrow and grief over the losses suffered by others. And again, all of these feelings are similar to compassion, the trembling of the heart, but compassion is quite different. It doesn't have anger, doesn't have fear, doesn't have grief. And these states of aversion without the wisdom can drain us. The state of compassion as the trembling of the heart arises with the quality of equanimity. A dying person, I just know this from people who have worked with the dying, the dying person doesn't want anything from us but presence. Just being with them. They don't want to be fixed. They don't want this bill of sale that everything's going to be okay. No, I want to know about the depth and the wisdom of when things are not okay. And there has to be an opening to that. Can you imagine a mind state in which there is no bitter, condemning judgment of oneself or of others? Well, that's our true nature. That's what we're practicing to open to. You think, oh, there's just no way I can do this. And remember, the Buddha said, I would not be asking if it's not possible. And it's been possible throughout the centuries. So we can release ourselves from that doubt. And so when the suffering comes to us on a personal level, or it comes to us when we see through the information age of people being slaughtered, we go to the heart. We go to the heart and we open to it. This is suffering. That's the only truth there is. This is suffering. This is my suffering, your suffering, life's suffering. And when we take it to the heart, there's wisdom. And so we don't get bogged down into thinking it's my suffering, which separates us. Then we begin to see, well, how can I, as an individual, relieve the suffering? And that has to come from each one of us. Tara Brach might put a whole list of things we could send money to. I mean, all we have to do is search to see that there are ways that we can help the Ukrainians. But not by closing our hearts. So what do we want to put in the universe, in our communities? What do we want? Well, if we put out anger, or we put out love, or how about a don't know mind? What if we begin to understand our limitations as human beings? Not as an excuse, we're not there. That's why we're here. We're not going to fall into all those holes that can be there if we weren't conscious. So our true nature does not see the world as good or bad, right or wrong, good or evil. It sees only suffering in the end of suffering. And so we keep going. We keep asking for the truth. And we ask ourselves through the most wise part of this existence, through the heart. Because we begin to see the difference ourselves when the mind is operating us and when the heart. Now, again, for some of us, these are just possibilities. Don't take it to the rational mind and think you're going to understand it, because it's just not. You're just not going to. So life is full of suffering, and I'm sure glad I have friends like you that I can suffer with. Thank you.